Welcome to the Calgary Real Estate Podcast, your connection to the Calgary market, with your hosts, Kimberly Corshane, Barb Richardson, and Taylor Rupert. Hey Taylor, this is our first episode together. I'm so excited to do it with you. How are you doing today?
So good, Cam. Thank you so much. I am so thrilled to be on this podcast with both you and your mom. And so I'm looking forward to a good year of lots of good info in real estate and chatting with you.
Oh, well, we're excited to have you and to get these episodes out more regularly here and keep adding insight and value to our listeners.
Absolutely.
I guess to start off, before we dive into some fun February stats on the market, what are you seeing out there?
This week has been particularly busy, actually. I did the certified condo course through CREB, which I know you've done before.
Yes. Yeah. It is so valuable.
Yeah. I love how you pushed me to, like, or just spoke about how valuable it was. And I got to say, it was like, I learned so much from that course. I can't believe I did, honestly, deals before without having that certification.
Oh, it's huge. And just for our listeners to know, this is a course, a certification specifically for condo sales that CREB offers. It's a 3-day intensive course, but you learn so much of the nitty-gritty about condos and reading condo plans and really understanding the ins and the outs of them and, you know, how the unit factors are impacting the units. And I really think it's a course that should be mandatory for all agents to take. I loved it when I took it, and I'm glad you have it now.
I gotta say, you know, if you're thinking of buying or selling your condo, I really recommend that you think of our listeners, someone who is certified, because you really, there's so much to learn. You can't teach yourself at all if you just don't know it. So highly recommend both realtors and people looking to buy or sell to look for someone certified.
Absolutely. The other thing with condos that's so crazy is every single one is so different. Yeah. Like if you're looking at a fourplex townhome versus a 200 unit high-rise tower, it is night and day, and there is so much to go through. And we always still recommend a professional condo doc review, but even just having an agent who has the understanding off the bat goes a long way with purchasing a condo.
Absolutely. Yeah, can't agree more. How's your week been?
It's been good. Speaking of condos, we have on our team, we've been working with a developer called Minto Developments in Calgary here, listing a number of their units at the project called Era over in Bridgeland. A fantastic project, great location. I mean, walking distance from downtown, the river pathways, and everything that's happening in Bridgeland, so all the shops and amenities, and it has been flying off the wall. So units have been selling. The biggest thing I've noticed at that project is really like the units under that 350 price point have been going quick, and I think that just shows a little bit of that affordability aspect. But we are still seeing a number of investors purchasing there, and we've got a range of units really from studios up to 2 bedrooms, and prices starting at $235 for a little studio unit. So it is an attractive building, and the demand has kept us busy. That's for sure.
I'm seeing it, Kim. It's like, it's a beautiful building. I'm happy that I was able to go through it, both of the buildings there. And you know, for our listeners, there's not a lot of new product out there, I'm finding, at a good price range, or just new product in general for good city center condos. So this one's a really nice one to take a look at. It's right at the cusp of Bridgeland. And like you said, very low entry points. So really interesting project. I like that one.
Absolutely. Low entry points. And we just have, I think it's the number of units that we've had available, which has been helpful at spurring interest. So a buyer will come, you know, tour one of the units, and because we're reaching out to their agents and letting them know we might have a few more, it kind of creates this cycle of, I guess, demand. And it's definitely worked, and we've loved working with the Minto team. They've just been fantastic. So we know we'll be sold out of those units in no time. Yeah. But it's definitely kept myself and our team member busy.
Love to hear it.
So speaking of condos and speaking of the market still being hot, let's chat about what we saw in the February stats that just recently came out. We're recording this episode here on March 7th.
Let's get into it. So no surprise here. We're continuing to see this story of low inventory, high demand still in February in Calgary for sure.
No change.
Yeah, exactly. Just to summarize it, that's what we're still at. Maybe we can just chat about some interesting facts just about what we saw in February, maybe that stood out to you. Is there anything that stood out to you in particular, Kim?
Yeah, of course. Well, before we dive into it, just yesterday, the Bank of Canada announced that they're holding rates again. So kind of unfortunate news, but it's, you know, the high interest rates sure haven't held back the Calgary market. because what we are seeing right now is there's historically low inventory. However, one of the stats that really stood out to me is that even though the inventory is at a historic low, we are seeing more new listings come to market. So we did see a 23% increase in listings compared to last year. That being said, they are selling so fast. So essentially what's hitting the market is selling so rapidly that it's keeping the inventory levels at such a historic low. So the listing ratio, or sorry, the sale, I can't speak right now. The ratio of sales to listings is 79%. So I guess it's like a product comes to market, a new listing comes to market, which is great. And we love seeing that. And it's getting offers right away. So those inventory levels are just remaining low, low, low. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the sales to listing ratio. So just outline that for our listeners of what that ratio means, what it means to be under 100%, what it means to be over.
Yeah. So really it's how much there is available on the market at a given time. So if the sales to listings is at 79%, that means out of the listings that are out there, 79% of them are seeing sales kind of firm up right away. So we're just not seeing that inventory build up essentially. Mm-hmm. So if that number or if that percentage is a lower percentage, then we'll have higher number of units on the market, but because it's still remaining at a high percentage, it's not giving buyers that time to make decisions on the market. It just means they're getting scooped up at very, very quick rates, which is definitely what we're experiencing still.
Yeah.
One of the other things I saw just reading through the February stats is anything under 500K is down 31% compared to this time last year. Mm-hmm. There's less available on the market in terms of homes under that 500K mark, which is a result of prices increasing too. So, and you know, it's not just home prices increasing, it's mortgage rates, what you can afford, what buyers are being pre-approved for. So essentially prices are just going up.
Going up across every category. And what I did see too in February is that if you are in the higher priced category, so anything above, let's call it 600 or 800,000, of course, it depends on your category, but those supply levels are increasing. So that's what we saw. Very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we chat a lot about how challenging the Calgary market is, and it is. But if you happen to be in a higher price category and not in this competitive level, you are actually seeing some negotiating power and a lot of supply.
Yeah. And over 600K, I mean, that mark sounds high for what we're used to in Calgary. Mm-hmm. But it's no surprise that we're seeing so many people from BC and Ontario coming here, because you can buy between that 600 to 800K mark. Mm-hmm. I did see here too that 75% of the detached home listings are over 600K now. And that's of course across the city. Mm-hmm. So what that really looks like to me is those days of getting home under the 600K mark for a detached are far and few between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 25% of the homes that came on the market in February were actually under that. So that is tight.
Yeah. And then if you think about where those homes are located and the state they're in, they often need some work. I saw a listing that came to market. It was in, I'm going to have to go back and look it up. I think it was in Abbeydale. It was a few weeks ago. A listing in that 500K mark for a detached home. And I think it sold for 150K over list price. And wow. I saw in the realtor comments or just people posting on social media about it that it had 85 offers.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is record breaking for me to hear.
That's not common. That just means that it was priced very low for what it was. 85 offers is a little insane. That poor list agent.
Yes. No kidding. Yeah. They earned that commission.
Oh my God. They were probably on their phone nonstop. And yeah, that would be hectic.
Yes.
But that just shows that it was priced under that 600K mark and had so much demand, because there might be a lot of buyers out there who are kind of tapped out at the 600K and are no longer looking for a detached home at that price range. Now they're looking for more of a duplex or townhome.
Yeah.
Under 600.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to chat about one category here that I think stands out a little bit more across all the categories, and that's row homes.
Yes.
Okay, so let's chat about that. Row homes was the only category that had less than 1 month of inventory in February across all of them. So particularly tight market for row homes right now in Calgary. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you and I have been experiencing that. We just helped a young couple moving here from Toronto purchase a row home. They ended up actually going out to the Cochrane market, a little bit more option. But yeah, the row home or townhouse product type is hot. And I think a huge reason for that is that's where people are qualifying. They're qualifying in that range of like under 450K, which essentially is only going to be an apartment condo or a row home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your suggestions to people who are looking in that general price range and product type?
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a row home in a competitive price range, and the most competitive price range for row homes right now is about $400,000 to $500,000. So if you're in there, I think the best way to tackle this and would be to have a very clear strategy. And your strategy should include having very close availability with your agent. So if you are to succeed and get a townhome in this category, you likely are going to have to see it that day or the day after. So you should see if your agent is available that day. Also, what Kim and I, what you and I do is we team up with buyers. And so this is one example of how you can do this, but Kim and I will both represent a buyer. And should I not be available for any reason, Kim can help that buyer get in right away or vice versa. So that's a great reason. Anything else you think of?
Just touching on that, like at first with these buyers from Toronto, I knew they were in that really competitive price range. And at first I was taking them out and I knew I had like a big wedding that weekend. And I mean, real estate agents, we still have to live our lives. It's shocking, but we still do. And I chatted with Taylor, and I think we'll be doing this more and more here because of the market. But I was like, we need to team up on with these guys because we want them to find a place. And for them to find a place, they need two hands on deck in this market. They need an agent who's available to take them out when the other one's tied up. So I think that's been a really helpful strategy for us and like working with a bit of a team in a sense. So I highly recommend that. And I know we've got a few more buyers we're going to be doing the same with, but just that flexibility to have someone be able to go out and take them and make sure that they feel like a top priority is key. The other things too is, because a lot of the people looking for townhouse style product are typically first-time home buyers, first or second-time home buyers. Oftentimes they need a financing condition. So what I am recommending for these first-time home buyers when they're looking at townhomes is to look below their pre-approval limit. So right now we are seeing a lot of townhomes sell over list price. So for example, I have a couple who's going to start looking here and they're kind of looking more at that 475K. My suggestion to them is we only set up your search to like 440, 450K max, because we want to give you that room if it's very competitive to be able to go a little bit over list to better your chances. And I know that's something that's hard to wrap your head around, but it is the market here.
That's such a good point.
We're just seeing product sell over list. The good stuff is selling over list. The other thing that I've kind of had to tell some buyers, especially in that townhouse market, is, you know, this competitive market can be super stressful. It doesn't give you as a buyer much time to think. It's kind of like you see a product, you like it. There's already a couple offers coming in. You're going to want to act fast. But the good news that I kind of try to remind people about is because that product is seeing multiple offers and it's selling maybe a little over list and you might have to write a bit over list, it's a desirable product. If for whatever reason push came to shove, you ended up winning the offer and life happened and you had to sell it down the road, it's a desirable product. That desire, that interest was there for a reason, and it's going to be there when you go to sell it. And likely over time, your value of the home will go up. So it's, yeah, I do still feel for buyers, though. Like, I know it's a tough place to be in, and you might also have to lose a few deals before you land on one too.
Absolutely. And the last thing we want too is our buyers to have remorse, because it is so overwhelming when you perhaps only have a day or actually literally a couple minutes to decide on one of the biggest investments you've ever made. So let's chat about how we try to prepare our buyers for that scenario so that they do end up purchasing something that they're really happy with. So I wanted to chat about our strategy in our buyer's process.
Absolutely. And I think the buyer's process is really key. One of the first things, as we were just chatting about here, is being realistic about where the market is. Like, when I'm meeting with a buyer, we're in a seller's market. So because we're in a seller's market for the most part, I mean, obviously there's exceptions in certain product types, certain areas, but for the most part, you know, the sellers have the power here. So you as a buyer has to understand that, you know, you have to go in strong. So having those realistic conversations up front is key. But Taylor and I really like to have the chats and understand what it is that you're looking for and where up front. So do you want to touch on like a few of the questions you typically ask buyers before they decide to go out and look for a product?
Absolutely. My favorite one is in front of you, the buyer, is to ask them what they want, but then also why they want it. And so from that, you kind of have this T-chart where on the left-hand side, you put in your what, and your what could be, I want a sunny, you know, lots of windows. It has to have a lot of natural sunlight, or it needs to have three bedrooms up because you want to start a family soon. And so the what is three bedrooms up, you write that down. And the why is because you want to have two other bedrooms around you where you could have, you could grow your family and not have to sell your home and find something else. And so, and the why, the to having a sunny place could be perhaps you work from home and you spend a ton of time in your home, and that is just so important to your well-being and mental health. So when we ask these things, it's just nice that you can think about perhaps the top three things of what your what's are. And it allows you to really explore this. Perhaps it's you on yourself or on your own, or you with a partner, or you with a friend buying a place. But you start really thinking about, okay, what are my top three things and why? And then when you can explain the why to Kim and I, it allows us also to explore and expand on how to give you the why by giving you a what that is different than what you thought of. So for example, maybe instead of getting a two-story home and you want to start a family, we find you a lovely bungalow and it allows you to have many rooms on the main level. But maybe it wasn't the two-story home that you thought of, but you can really grow your family in that one. Mm-hmm. So I love that exercise. It has to be my most favorite one, and it requires a meeting before you go out and look at properties.
Absolutely. Having a meeting, really talking through, like, as you said, why it is that you need those things. Mm-hmm. Like if you're saying a big priority is a two-car garage, is it because both of you have to get up early in the mornings and drive to work, and going out and scraping snow off your car in the morning isn't ideal if it's parked on the street? Well, that's a huge criteria then. But if, you know, you want that fourth bedroom, but you're maybe not planning on growing a family, and it's because you want an extra gaming room or something, is there something we can kind of maybe eliminate or make room for on your search too?
Exactly.
The other thing too is being a little too picky can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Because no home is perfect unless you're a multimillionaire and designing your own home. And even then there's going to be things you don't like. So I think it's important to also remind people when they are going out and home shopping that there's certain things you can change in a home. Obviously the layout is harder to change than paint or cupboards, cabinetry, but you do have to kind of look at it and say, does it check most of my boxes? Not does it check all of my boxes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think what we say in our team is that, do you like it 85% of the way?
Yes.
And if you do, you know, you're really set up to love that home. Yes. Typically is that's a nice rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing with that too, like even just when we're looking at then writing an offer on a home. Mm-hmm. So you like the home, you know it's going to be competitive. If we're still talking about that townhome style of housing, it most likely is. Things you can do to help your chances of an offer. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to weigh the risks in today's market. So if it's a newer home, is there a way you could do like a pre-inspection walkthrough before writing the offer? I know it's pretty crazy and competitive out there, but that might help your chances get it. Or is there a way you could go in without that home inspection condition? Mm-hmm. That includes taking on the risk of what some updates might cost. Mm-hmm. So those are conversations we kind of have ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
To allow you to be prepared.
Yeah, and I like how you said that answer in a dynamic way, because there's no way that there's going to be a hard and fast rule of saying that in this market, when you buy, you have to have no house inspection condition. And that is dependent on your property, and it really should be a close conversation that you have with your agent. Mm-hmm. And yes, if the condo is on the newer side or the property is on the newer side, perhaps there's less of a risk of major issues popping up, but it certainly does not mean that these properties are free of issues. So you definitely have seen our share of, for example, poor attic insulation in a brand new townhome.
There's no such thing as a perfect home.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I just actually wrote an offer this weekend on a row townhouse over in Ross Carat. And there was 8 offers on the table. And we had to, in this scenario, go in unconditional. We had lots of conversations with the buyer and his mortgage broker. So was still taking out a mortgage, but his mortgage broker gave us the confidence that it was doable to go in unconditional. And we also used an escalation clause, which is a really good strategy if you're looking to purchase in a very competitive market. What that means is we wrote an offer with a term that essentially said we would go above the highest price offer up to a maximum amount. So we were able to really set our max. We ended up having to utilize pretty much the whole escalation clause, but the buyer's thrilled that he ended up securing it as he's lost out on multiple properties prior. So there are strategies out there, but it includes a ton of conversations prior and a ton of real understanding too. Like, you want to make sure your buyers 120% get what they're going in with, and understand it, and, you know, understand when you go in unconditionally, it's a little bit of a, you're going in with a bit of a risk, but it does better your chances of securing a property when there's 8 offers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's maybe chat about the price bands that are the most competitive per category, because this can, what we're chatting about, can really apply to some price bands, but it really cannot apply if you're outside of the most competitive price bands. So I wanted to chat about this market and what are the most competitive price ranges for apartment, row, semi-attached, and detached. And so I'll start with apartments.
Yes. What are the price, the competitive price ranges?
Yeah. So here, the price range here for apartments is $225,000 to $325,000. So you have a gap here of about $100,000. And this apartments, you'll see so much fluctuate for the price when it comes to a 1-bedroom or 2+ bedrooms. So if you're in the 1-bedroom category, you're definitely going to be more competitive, obviously, more towards the $225,000 price. And then if you're getting up there with 2 bedrooms or more, then the most competitive would stop at $325,000. So it's just something to keep in mind when you are out there shopping. And, you know, for example, if your top of your budget is $350,000, then you can expect that it won't be that competitive, or as competitive, I should say.
As competitive. You still have a chance of going into competitive offers.
Exactly.
But with these stats, these are the ones where the highest sales are occurring, correct? Or can you go over just the metrics that are involved in?
Absolutely. So when I'm chatting about this price range, I mean that these are the price ranges where the most amount of deals happen. And so what that looks like in practice is, should you be bidding on a property and it's within this price range, you can expect more offers, more bids, more demand on that product. And so that means perhaps you're using an escalation clause, or you're seeing that property that day. And so, and then on top of that too, if you're outside of these price bands, then it means that it's, you can expect to have less competition, more negotiating power, or even if you're looking at flipping properties, you could purchase something and try to get it within this price band. So let's say you purchase underneath this price band and do some renovations, then selling it within this, you could probably expect to sell it pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is it for row townhouses?
Row townhouses are $400,000 to $500,000.
And that seems to be that just the price band that everyone looking for a row townhouse is in.
Yeah, yeah. Our buyers out in Cochrane, they got it right in between there.
Yeah, which was perfect.
Yeah.
Now, this also means if you're a seller and you have a product, a row townhouse that you want to sell between $400,000 to $500,000, well, you are in a great position.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Great point, Kim. Because if you are listing at this price point, then you can definitely expect to perhaps sell your place within a day or two.
Yeah.
And then if you're selling outside of it, your expectation should definitely should be adjusted from that. I mean, you should probably expect to wait on it for a little bit longer, and it'll, you know, hopefully it'll eventually sell, and it's kind of a market it will, but you might need to do a little bit of a price adjustment if you don't get any offers within the first 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What's the semi-detached?
Semi-detached are, it's a wider range. So 400,000 to 600,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So very doable, and also really comparable to row.
Yeah.
So I see that to be a really good option. If you're feeling like you're priced, or you're just, the row house is too competitive, you might want to consider a semi-attached.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so location dependent, because I do have buyers looking in that semi-detached product type, but they're looking very much inner city.
Mm.
And the inner city semi-detached is just that much higher, but you can absolutely get a good semi-detached out in the suburbs for mm-hmm. in that price range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even the inner city semi-detached market, we're just seeing everything go so competitively.
Yeah. Yeah. Semi-detached, and you know, the benchmark price is also increased quite a bit for semi-detached, as it has for every category, but certainly do like to see that there is definitely a lot of offers within 400,000 to 600,000, which means that there is product within that range.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And what about the detached?
So detached is going to be 475,000 to 800,000.
Okay, so a lot wider of a range.
Widest range, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm happy to say that it's, you know, not over a million like you would see in other big major cities in Canada. And that if you are looking in that category, there are other options for you to perhaps bump down to a different category. But this one, the range is much wider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is a lot of Calgarians, especially born and raised Calgarians, are just feeling this sticker shock on how much prices have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
But relatively to other markets, we aren't seeing them as that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of sticker shock when we compare it to other markets. Speaking of other markets, before we wrap up here, Taylor, you lived in Toronto for a number of years, and you purchased your first property in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
How did that compare to what Calgary's now experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Well, this was several years ago. I purchased a property with a friend, and we were in the most competitive market that Toronto has seen for a long time for condominiums. So we purchased in May 2017, and that is a time, and it still is pretty consistent now in Toronto, where you cannot buy a property without going completely unconditional.
Yeah. So you guys were used to that. That was like the norm.
That was just how you get a property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People would laugh if you tried to include conditions.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, they would laugh at us. So we had to go in with no conditions. And we did end up securing a place. I think it was about the fourth property we bid on after getting massively outbid. So that was a time too in Toronto where product was purposely underpriced to get multiple offers, a very emotional process to drive up and get essentially top dollar for the seller. So I think we paid about something between like $60,000 or $80,000 over list, and that got us the property. But we definitely went in unconditional, and got to say too, so obviously unconditional offer, there's no condition period. So firm deal right off the bat once it's assigned and accepted. But then when it came down to closing, our lender gave us quite a curveball. It was about a week out of us taking possession, and they said that we needed to fund a gap because the appraisal came back so low. And it was because the market in Toronto was just rising so quickly that the number that we purchased it at was just too high compared to what it appraised at.
Right.
Which is common for a very you know, with a fast growing market, that the appraisal will come back too low and potentially cause an issue with the lender. And essentially what the lender said is, okay, you and Nina, me and my friend, we had to fund the difference. And we said, that's too bad because we have no more money. So
not a lot of stress at all. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was sleeping so well. So besides the fact that we both got sick that week, but we had to look for another lender. And so because we were on the hook to buy this property. So we ended up asking for, I think we asked for another week out of possession day. So it gave us some more time. We were lucky with that. And then we had a referral to a fantastic mortgage advisor at RBC. And so our individual in Toronto, he was able to wrap that up within 3 days. And I just got to say, it was a small miracle. One of the most amazing miracles that have ever happened in my life. And
sometimes you do just have to go to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kim, it really goes to show that you need contacts of good people within the industry and they can really make mountains move. So that totally came through for us and we were able to close. And the rest is history, but yeah, certainly extremely stressful. So I feel for you buyers. And I really hope that it doesn't come to a completely unconditional blanket statement for a lot of buyers in Calgary, but, it could be worse.
Yeah, definitely could be. How did that prepare you for now purchasing a property in Calgary? I mean, you represented yourself too. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool.
I love that you can do that in this industry. I purchased my first property here in Calgary in August, and I represented myself. That one, I had one condition on there. It was a financing condition, and I will say between the accepted date to waiving conditions to getting the keys, it was about 3 weeks. Okay. And that is very tight.
Yeah.
That's probably, I wouldn't recommend that. I did it because I was really close to my contacts in the industry. But even so, I had my challenges with lending last minute. Some issues popped up. And the point being is that things can pop up. And if you give yourself no buffer period, it's just setting up a whole scram of disaster and little sleep. So I would definitely recommend that you give yourself more than 3 weeks between acceptance and closing.
I like to have at least a month minimum. Absolutely. When I write offers.
Yeah,
unless there's a situation where they need to move immediately, we can make it happen, but a month is definitely nice.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. How was your experience here purchasing this townhome that we're sitting in right now?
So I had the best realtor, my mom. Mm-hmm. So that helps. We purchased in 2020. So we bought at a really good time. Good. We bought because my husband and I were living in a studio apartment that I owned, actually. I had bought that back in 2016, a little studio in Lower Mount Royal. Love the unit. Really wish I held on to that and rented it out. But we ended up selling it because we needed more space. Mm-hmm. We were just living on top of each other, and all of a sudden both of us were working from home and got a little crazy. So we found this townhome by Millennium Plus Homes, fantastic builder, and loved it right away, but we had not sold our unit. So we did a crazy thing that would almost be laughable in today's market, but we had a for sale a buyer home condition. So they accepted our offer with the condition that we, to go firm on our offer, we had to sell our condo first. So I remember, like, as soon as that offer was accepted, we had the stager come in that day. We like mass scrambled to get our unit ready in a day's time. Declutter, get rid of a bunch of stuff, got photos done, had it up on the MLS within, I think it was 48 hours, and ended up actually getting competitive offers on it, even though it was the COVID times. But it sold, and we were able to go firm on this, and it all worked out. It definitely helped that we were in a better buyer's market just with the COVID pandemic. Like, we were in that time where people were even scared to do showings because I think we purchased in April 2020-ish. But worked in our favor. So thankfully, my mom, too, was fantastic. And I remember her saying, like, if there's any time to buy, it's right now. And we are very thankful for that. But yeah, I would not recommend in today's market any buyer tries to have a for sale a buyer's home condition. It's just not really going to get accepted.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're in a competitive situation, but maybe in the higher price ranges, like more luxury.
Multi-million.
Yeah, it'd have to be pretty up there.
Yeah. You got more time if you're playing with a few million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And more flexibility. Different.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that wraps up today's episode. Yeah. But wanted to thank you for being here today, Taylor, and excited to do many, many more episodes together.
Absolutely. So happy.
And if any of our listeners are curious to chat about the market, please reach out to us at the Richardson Group. You can ask for Taylor, Barb, myself, Kim, or any of our team members. We'd all love to help out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
And that wraps up our episode of the Calgary Real Estate Podcast. To learn more about the Calgary market, please don't hesitate to reach out to any of us at the Richardson Group at Sotheby's International Realty Canada. Have a great day.